And the scriptures I'm using today is Mark chapter 10, 35 through 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do us a favor." "What is your request?" he asked. They replied, "When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and one on your left." But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? And are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with?" "Oh yes," they replied, "we are able." Then Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it must be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Lord, we come to you. These are hard words to hear. The human nature, the flesh part of us, wants to be recognized, wants to be noticed, wants to be appreciated. We know the pain it is of being ignored, of being overlooked, or even maybe even ridiculed. But Father, you're telling us to look to you. You're telling us that life is fulfilled in you when we trust you and not ourselves. When we look to build up the name of Jesus rather than our own name, rather than our church's name. Father, we need your help. We need your Spirit, your Holy Spirit working among us so that we can be joyful being unseen and unnoticed as long as we're walking in obedience to you, Lord. Father, I think the other disciples were indignant because they wanted to sit next to you. They're probably thinking, "Why didn't I think of this first?" Lord, we have to be willing to go unnoticed. We have to be willing to live unseen lives, not lives that are on Facebook or in the news or even front and center. Let us know we serve you to glorify you, to be recognized by you. In your name, amen. Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers said, "Life is for service." Tomorrow is Independence Day, as Bill had mentioned. You know, our country, if you think about it, is really built upon the lives of many men and women who serve so freely. They gave their lives, great sacrifice, so that we could have our freedom. You know, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3 that in the last days, people will be lovers of self. Tell me that's not true. Tell me that we don't see people promoting themselves, promoting their beliefs, promoting what they think has to be right, rather than looking to the Lord. You know, I'm a great sports fan, and I have to tell you, I really get tired of seeing athletes that really think they're all that, and as my friend Kenny would say, in a bag of chips. You might be the first basketball player to become a billionaire while you're actively playing, but that won't get you into heaven. See, we live in a place that says, me first, that you have to do what makes you happy. And I'm going to say, that will never please you. That will never fulfill you unless you totally sacrifice yourself to the Lord. So what I want to talk about today is we need to learn to value impacting our other lives in positive ways. Today I'm going to talk about be a ransom for Christ. My first point is humility is key. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines it, humility as freedom from pride or arrogance. To me, humility is not making yourself part of every living equation that you're a part of. You know, I read that biblical humility is believing what God says about you over anyone else's opinion, including your own. Believing what God says about you over anyone else's opinion, including your own. Now, I want to stay here just for a little while, because this is really the crux of what God is doing in this church. He knows our past. He knows our ups and downs. But what he is saying to us is, hey, you know what? Believe who I say you are. For some of us, that's going to mean take a back seat, because God's doing a new thing. And for others of us, that's going to mean God is saying, hey, I want you to go encourage that person. I want you to go pray for that person. I want you to go serve. You know, in the next few weeks, I'm going to have different areas that we can serve. You know, Oswego Community Christian School, I want to get a cleaning team together. I know we did it for the last month of the year, but I, you know, rather than pay somebody to clean, let's offset some of the cost by those of us that have time, serve 2 hours a week over there. You know, praise God, they're in the parade today. I mean, that is a sacrifice in and of itself, so that's where a lot of them are today. You know, we have downstairs, Bridge Dope has Second Chances where they give furniture away and clothing, and Victory Transformation is over here, because you guys know one of the things God is telling me, I want you to serve, but I don't want you to serve for New Covenant Community Church. And yes, I want us to be front and center, but God is saying, no, I want to break that. I want you to serve me, and I want you to trust me, because one of the things the Lord has told me the whole time I've been a pastor is I'm going to trust him with the PR. Maybe there are places where we should advertise more. I don't, maybe. But I'm going to trust God and do what he tells me to do. In the Bible, there are at least 177 verses on humility. God loves humility. You know what? He hates pride. Humility looks to him. Pride looks to me. And part of the reason this is important for our church, because as we move forward and we know there's things we have to change, we're going to be uncomfortable. Well, I don't like that. Okay. It's really okay. God doesn't have to move in a way we like everything that he's doing. In fact, I'm sorry. I've been a part of this thing for, 43 years. God usually doesn't move in a way that I like. Why? Because it won't stretch me. James and John, prideful people, they demonstrate a lack of faith. God, don't overlook me. Boy, we can look at that verse and we can laugh, but we're in the same place often. We see somebody else where their life seems to be going good and ours hurts, and the enemy says, you know, God, he really doesn't care about you. And we know that ain't true. We fluff that off. But you know what happens if you hear something that's not true and you don't have a strong system that tells you something else? Over time, you start clinging to that, even though you don't mean to. But if the enemy whispers, you know, God doesn't really love, I know not true, because that's what the Bible says. But then you get in a bad place and you're not reading, you're not praying, you're not fellowshipping. Over time, you're going to say, yeah, God, that's true. He doesn't care for me. Why do we preach that you got to be in the Bible? Because you will be led astray. You might hear an off-the-wall teaching. You say, man, that's off the wall. But if you don't have something inside of you that comes against that, over time, human nature goes that way. So we need to have the Lord moving in us. You are not overlooked. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. Now, James and John didn't necessarily desire a bad thing. I think it's good to want to be close to Jesus. I'm just thinking their motives weren't in line with what God's was. It wasn't like John the Baptist, I must decrease, he must increase. We need to guard against self-promotion. When I put a message together, and part of how I've always done it is I try to use personal examples. But I go through my notes and I pray through and say, Lord, is this pointing to you or to me? And I think we have to ask ourselves that. You know, I got friends of mine, man, they love to tell stories, but I sit back and go, man, you look good in every single story. You see, being close to Jesus is key, or we're going to start to feel insignificant. And I think if I sat down and asked everybody one by one in this room, do you feel important to God? If we're honest, a lot of us will say, yeah, but I think he loves this person better. You know, I got two kids. I love them both the same. I love them in different ways because they have different personalities, but I don't have favorites. I mean, it's obvious my mom and dad did, but that's a different story. It's natural for us to want to get attention. Yesterday, we went up to Chemo, where my daughter lives with her husband, my grandbaby Cam, and the chocolate lab, Max. Now, I love Max. Sometimes he doesn't get on the new couch. I'd be laying on the old couch, and next thing I see this brown mass coming at me, and all you can see is my head because he just lays on me. But you see, if you're playing with the baby, and we're all playing with the baby, next thing I know, Max grabs a shoe, and he drops it like, will you please look at me? Don't we do that? We all want attention. It's natural to want attention. But faith is God knows you even in the middle of the storm. How many times have I looked and said, their life's doing good, my life stinks, and I start to believe the lie. They're more loved by God than I am. If God really loved me, why would he let this happen? Why would a good God let this happen? Because God says, I'm going to get you through that storm if you trust me. Every hardship I go through can be a test for my faith to grow rather than get shipwrecked. I liked what the guy said in the book. You know, he gave an example of this man and woman, and she was a model, and then she had some kind, in her 20s, a brand new baby, she had some kind of stroke, and half her face is paralyzed, and it looks kind of funky, but they really activated their faith in God. Trials can either deflate our faith or inflate our faith. If they lock us all in prison and they beat us, I hope we're singing at midnight rather than licking our wounds. And I'm not downplaying anybody's hardship. Please don't hear me say that. But humility is key, and we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. 2, is freedom really free? Mrs. Herman, Morseville Eaton, I'm like in fourth grade. She must have been deaf, because she was our chorus teacher, and I tried out, and she put me on the team. We sang the song, freedom isn't free. You have to pay the price. You have to sacrifice. Freedom isn't free. The gift of salvation isn't free, but don't kid yourself. It costs you something. If you want to enjoy it fully, it costs you every part of yourself. That you have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, you can have my family, you can have my finances, you can have my job, you can have my time, you can have whatever. It costs us everything. And if you haven't fully surrendered to God, you will not, and you cannot possibly experience the full freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's a gentleman. Where, you know, what's that movie? Men in Black. Remember in the beginning, the thing comes with, yes, you're going to have to pull this shotgun from my cold, dead fingers. Well, the next thing you know, he's dead and the alien's wearing an Edgar suit. I mean, so you don't say to God, God isn't going to say, I'm going to pull the last of Dick Beaumont from his fingers. He says, you want to hold on to this part of you? I'm going to let you. and I missed a blessing, and I don't have peace, and I don't have this inner just calmness inside of me. And then I get mad at God, and he's saying, whoa, I'm right here, big boy. Just give it all up, and you get my peace. Being a Christian means you have to put yourselves last. Humble, no strings attached service shows Jesus loves to others. That's what we need to activate to the best of our ability in this church. Where can I serve our community, which will open doors for God to move? I've seen this happen in the past. I've seen it happen here, and it will happen again. When we give selflessly without promotion, without, hey, look at us, then that's going to open doors for people to be attracted here. That's what people want to see, is no holds barred love for other people. You know, in verse 39, it says, Jesus says, are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? And they say, oh, yes, we are able. Jesus said, you are right, dude. You're going to drink from that cup. Well, guess what? Some of your hardship is because the devil is attacking you. The devil is like a lion. He prowls. He wants to attack you. My daughter is going on like a 2 or 3 week camp vacation, her and her husband in Georgia in Myrtle Beach. And I said, you know, an alligator just attacked a guy. I think it was on a golf course in Myrtle Beach. And they have these kayaks. And I said, don't go in alligator water. If you have to, go in a pool. She goes, you know, you can get in trouble in the ocean. I said, yeah, when I go to, I've been to Florida, I go in the pool, I don't go in the ocean. I went with Bill Jackman in 1990 to Ghana. So after this church service, they take us to this big lake and they're doing baptisms. Where do you change? We have suits on. In the brush. So we're changing in the brush and it hit me. I'm not in Oswego. They have animals over here that could kill me. They have snakes. In fact, where we stayed, about a year later, they found some dead pythons there. I said, yuck! What am I saying? Life's going to be hard. But you got to still serve. It is an endless cycle of seeking affirmation. You guys know I struggle with insecurity. I have to fight. Hey, look at me. So I say, Lord, man, I'm just going to trust you. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. So we have to obey what God has for us. We have to not look for man to praise us, but God. I remember when I started working for the church, you know, I'm the administrator, then I became the assistant pastor. We're putting on this event, and I'm working my tail off. And what happens? Pastor, this was wonderful. I want to say, I did more work than he did, but I didn't. That's like a roadie, you know? You might have gone to like the Paul McCartney concert. Paul McCartney's a great talent. He didn't hook up all the sound equipment. You know what I'm saying? So he can't do it by himself. So we work to God, and we say, Lord, I want you to help me. Whatever you do, work for the Lord rather than people. Maybe you're not going to get complimented as much. In fact, you probably won't. You know how life goes. If something's wrong, people like to talk about it. But when you fix it, people forget about it. I remember one night, we had a men's retreat, and I'm down in the basement. We're fixing the toilet with this other guy, and it's like 10 o'clock at night, and it's a Saturday night, and he turned to me and goes, do you think anybody's going to thank us for this toilet being fixed? No. But we do as unto God, because he sees us. You don't say, hey, look at me. We have to have a mindset. Our mindset has to be, I'm going to do whatever it takes to point people to the Lord. I shared this earlier out of Peter, it's also in James 4. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. When you're proud, you're promoting yourself, and God cannot ever honor that. God can't honor that. He won't honor anything that takes the focus off of him. Not because he's egotistical, but because he knows he is the answer. And as wonderful as we are not. Mark 10, my next point is become great. I want you to be great. No, I'm not going to be, can't remember his name who I was going to use. This is probably a good thing. I'm not an infomercial telling you how wonderful you are, but I want you to be great the way that Jesus says in Mark 10, 43, 44, but among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone. One version says, if you want to be great. So I want you to become great by being a servant. True faith is, I don't mind being in the background because God's getting the glory. I don't mind people not looking at me, but looking at the Lord. And one of the things that we have to look at is, how does God want us to serve? Maybe, you know, I know the older I get, the more limitations I have. You know, I might share this last week, we had flooring put in and I had to tear up like six stairs of carpet. 2.5 hours later, and I woke up in the night because I got arthritis in my shoulders, I felt like I went a couple rounds with Muhammad Ali and I just took up a stupid carpet. So I know I have limitations. But I'm not going to tell God what I can't do. I'm going to say, God, what do you want me to do? Say, we're looking at various places where we can serve. I'm going to talk about that the next few weeks. And I thought, hey, let's look to get involved at our church. We have greeting. You know, people come in the door, you know, then you greet people. We're going to have social events. You know what? Like I said, we're doing a pancake breakfast. Maybe God's put something on your heart. You know, we're going to have a church picnic you get involved in. Home group meetings is a good way. We start those up in September where we can get to know one another and learn together. More relationship stuff happens in home groups than will happen here. There's Randy back in sound. If anybody wants to learn how to do sound, go for it. We have video projector, and I got to tell you, I am really thinking I would love to do that. Because then I'd be back there, hey, Ian, you can't see them, man. I would really like to give up this seat and take that seat. But right now, that's not what God has for me. So if you can do this stuff, can I ask you something? Don't wait for us to ask. Now, I'm not going to volunteer to do sounds. Why is that, Pastor? This is called a hearing aid. I don't think you want me to do sound. Is that an unclean spirit, Lord? We have a worship team. Maybe you sing instruments, whatever. We have building care, you know. Debbie and Sue just did our bathroom upstairs and over here, praise God. So where do you want to serve? It's not keeping the seats clean on Sunday morning with your tushy, okay? God wants us to roll up our sleeves and to get involved to go. Self-promotion, as I said 100 times, is not from God. He must decrease, I must increase. Let me go back to Mark 10, 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Faith needs to embrace the cost that is true surrender. You will be overlooked. You will feel used at times. But that's when you say, Lord, I'm doing what you called us to do. Faith and serving God isn't about convenience. It's not about desire, what I want to do. I don't feel like doing that. But even the Son of God, the Son of Man, came not to be served. Jesus, it wasn't convenient for him to go to the cross for my sins. It wasn't something he desired to do. He didn't wake up that day excited about life. I get tired of, well, I'm just not led to do that. I'm going to leave that alone because I could really get myself in trouble. You don't pray and say, Lord, here's a need. Do I do this? That's the wrong prayer. God, here's a need. Why don't I do it? That's what we need to pray. That's the heart of us. Well, I'm not feeling it. I don't care. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and if he asks me to do something, I'm going to do it. Last week, for 2.5 more hours, I did that zero turn, and let me tell you, I did okay. For 40 feet, I even had it flat out, but then I said, okay, I'm going to kill myself, so I stopped it and went really slow. I even stopped with this little bunny, let him get out of the way, and I kept going. Am I comfortable still? Of course not, but God told me to do this. You're not going to be comfortable in obeying God, or you don't need faith. But God is telling us we need to get out there. We need to serve. How many of you have, don't answer this, I beg of you, even not even prayed about who to ask? God is telling us to invite people to hear the good news so that if they get saved, they go to heaven rather than hell for eternity. I don't care what you hear. Hell is real, and it lasts forever. So God is telling us, will you touch your community? In Copenhagen, we were looked at as a cult. How did we open the doors? We started serving the community. I volunteered. I tutored at the high school. Then we did other things. God opened doors. This woman at the high school, her son had really deadly disease, but he lived. We took up a collection. We gave her gas money. In the middle of the stinking post office, this lady that works for the school sees me and just gives me a hug. Why? God opens doors when we get over ourselves. And maybe it means you quit, you give up some of the things you want to do and do the things he wants you to do. Getting a little excited? Because I know the warfare, and I know the lies. And I want to say, apathy is never from Jesus Christ. Because there's a wind of change coming, and I'm going to embrace it. I mean, you all can laugh. I even bought me a clicker thing. We're going to install it. I'm going to be able to move these slides by myself. No, you laugh. You don't know how much of a big thing this is for me. Did you notice the bulletin slides? One's even in color. I'm even learning PowerPoint in a new way. I can laugh at myself, but God is telling me, get going, Bo. So I'm doing it. Faith means we're comfortable in the background. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. You don't do something then have a film crew with you because you show up at the hospital because you're a celebrity. I'm tired of that stuff. Show up when there ain't nobody around. See, my life needs to be a ransom so I can honor and promote Jesus Christ. And our prayer has to be, Lord, where can I serve? So would you close your eyes? Lord, as I said that, Lord, I thought of Dave Purdy and the people from the school, Robin Clark and others, Lord, and they're doing the float and they're going to be in the parade. And Lord, I really thank you. I really thank you. You called them to do that, not me. But Lord Jesus, I pray that we would be willing to serve wherever you want us to. But this is what I love what you're doing, God. You're saying to us, I got you. You see, Lord, I got this figured out. I hope. I know. You're not going to call us to do anything that you haven't equipped us to do. We just don't know it. We just haven't stepped out and tapped into the power source of your Spirit, knowing that on our own we can't do it, but we can do it through you. Maybe something as simple as a zero-turn lawnmower. But man, believe me, Lord, through the tears and the prayers, you work. I think of Sharon last week, Lord. I know that was not comfortable for her, but she obeyed you, Lord. And it was such a rich blessing. See, Lord, you want us to have confidence in you because you love us. We all have been planned for a purpose before I was in my mama's womb, Lord God. You knew. You knew the call of my life. We all have a call, Lord God. And I pray that we wouldn't allow the enemy to come in and lie to us, to devalue us, to say, you can't do it because of this. You can't do it because of that. Oh, Lord, we can do it when you call us to do it. And I pray, Lord God, that we will ask you, where do you want us to serve? How do you want us to build your kingdom? First at New Covenant Community Church, and then outside these doors, Lord God. Lord, we don't want the identity that we desire. We want to be the church you have called us to be, Lord God. I thank you for the plans that you have for us. I thank you for the purpose that you have, Lord God. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the rich history of being caring and loving, Lord God. I just love that about this church. And Lord, you're asking us now to trust you, to sit back calmly in prayer, and to allow you to guide us in a calm and gentle way, Lord God. Oh, some of us are going to be really stretched, but that's okay, Lord, because when I'm stretched, that activates my faith, and I grow in my faith, Lord God. You see, Lord, I learned a long time ago, faith never grows in the good seasons. Faith grows in the hard times when we see how you are with us every step, and you're ministering on our behalf, and you're guiding us and strengthening us, Lord God. Then in the hard times, our faith grows because we see how faithful you are. So when the next moment comes, we know somehow you're going to get us through it. And I do pray, Lord God, for us reaching out to people for these Sunday night meetings, Lord God. I pray that you would show each and every one of us the one person to reach out to, Lord. And that we would understand that as we pray about it, you go before us. When you show me who to give this invitation to, you have already touched their heart. It doesn't mean it's an automatic, but it means that you've gone before us. And whatever their response is not up to us. It's on them. We just have to be faithful, Lord God. Lord, I'm not afraid of the enemy. I know what he can do. I'm not afraid because I got you, Jesus. And greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I just pray, Lord, as we celebrate independence for this country, Lord, I do pray that this country would turn back to you in a powerful way. And Lord, I pray that we would serve our country through prayer, Father God. And I feel like the Lord wants me to pray this. I pray, Lord God, that as we turn on the news and various things and we see things that, let's be honest, disgust us and grieve us, that they would cause us to pray. That we would understand that our enemy, the lion, has indeed prowled around this country and he has promoted self-interest. He has promoted pride. He has promoted arrogance. He has promoted lovers of self, with, Lord, your word told us was going to happen. But, Father, we have to do battle through love. We can't be afraid to get our hands dirty, Lord God. We can't be afraid to interact with those with other beliefs. But, Lord, help us to serve this church and to serve this community and to serve this country by praying for them, Lord, that we would see revival, not for them, but for us, Lord God. Revival is lighting the fire again, that our faith would be greater than it has ever been, but that we would see restoration for this country, Lord God, that we would see hearts come to know you in a greater way, Lord. I pray for our president, Lord God, that you would touch him, that he would see that you are indeed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he would ask for forgiveness and seek you and start a relationship with God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that we would be excited that you have called us to a day such as this, that through the hardship and through the anguish, we know that we know that we know that we know that you got this, Lord. But the fact is, you ain't coming back right now because we're here. And your plan is for us to activate our faith, to walk it out. And when our palms get sweaty and our heart starts beating a little faster, that we take a deep breath and say, here goes nothing, Lord. And we walk in faith. So I thank you, Jesus. I pray that you would be glorified in this place because we are here for you and you alone. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a good day.